Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Warning in progress.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now, but now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find the change of mind, I'll open up the doors.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm delighted to feature one of my favorite guests. He's brutally honest, he's brilliantly analytic, and he's going to give us a very sober assessment of the situation we're in today. Jack Mullen joins me. I'm so glad to have you here, Jack. I want to begin with a story that seems to me to be indicative of the pathetic state of the United States, where Mark Zuckerberg has admitted that Facebook throttled the Hunter Biden news story after the FBI warned about Russian propaganda. We have the collusion between the government and the mainstream media, which is a blatant violation of the First Amendment, right to freedom of speech and freedom of the press. This was on with Joe Rogan. The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. We thought there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice, basically, there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that, so just be vigilant. More than simply being vigilant, Zuckerberg admitted they suppressed the recent stories involving Hunter's laptop. He said they had outright, unlike Twitter, which outright banned the story, Facebook could still share the news, but the distribution was decreased. They used an algorithm to censor the laptop story for 7 days based upon a somewhat vague but nevertheless sufficiently specific request from the FBI. His admission is a clear indication private companies were taking direction from the government during an election. The fact that a social media company with as massive an influence on the public opinion as Facebook thought the sharing of news stories fell for it, he told Rogan, sucks. When something like that turns out to be real, is a regret for not having it evenly distributed and for throttling the distribution of the story, Rogan asked. Yeah, it sucks. It turned out after the fact checker looked into it, no one was able to say it was false. I think it sucks. So in the same way, probably having to go through a criminal trial but being proven innocent in the end sucks. What a spot-on analogy. What Facebook, Twitter, and other social media giants have done during that time was a crime against humanity. Jack, I want to begin with your reflection, because it seems to me the FBI has been completely weaponized. Department of Justice has been completely weaponized, and they're influencing the social media to constrain access to information a public is entitled to know, deserves to know, and in this case, before an election. Your thoughts?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on today, by the way. even though it was short notice for me, because I don't remember saying this was going to be the week I was on. But regardless, you got me without basically nothing in my hands and flat-footed. But anyway, I did happen to look into that story, and I don't think there's anything surprising there at all. I mean, we've known for a long time that all of the mainstream media of any kind, whether it be a magazine or Facebook, is or TV or radio, you name it, anything that people listen to in mass, although they're listening to it less and less now, is controlled by just a small handful of people. And most of those companies, the mainstream media companies, are owned by Vanguard or BlackRock. And so the people that we historically have said are controlling our world are also in charge of all of our media. And, you know, it's interesting because most people can't see the fact that all of this technology was created with vast amounts of stolen wealth or ancient wealth, wealth that's been kept in secret and hidden in people's basements that are the so-called elites or underground bunkers or wherever they keep it. And much of it is probably technology that has survived previous cataclysms in this world. And we're not privy to it. So the same groups of people emerge after every cataclysm and recreate the same technology or even improve it with each next generation. Whether the cataclysm is World War II or whether it's Pompeii being destroyed by a volcano or whether it's the Great Flood, these people have been in charge of our world since the beginning of all time on this planet. And so now we're getting a great awakening, but it's important for people to understand that this media is a mind control machine, and it's absolutely does nothing else. It has no other value except to protect the position of the elite, whoever they may be. And I'm tired of that word. But whatever group of people own Vanguard and own BlackRock, these people control everything that we think, all of the styles, all of our understandings of the world, all of the pseudoscience that we are being shoved in our face. They created the calamity that has led to our system of our social systems breaking down, our culture being destroyed, and so therefore, you know, Joe Rogan, who's an interesting person, I find him interesting not only as a commentator but as a martial artist as well. you know, his discussion with Zuckerberg there, I mean, why bother even hide it? And who cares? I mean, nobody on Facebook is going to drop their account because they are being lied to 24/7. And no one really cares about the election except a small group of people about your age or my age, Jim. And the rest of the younger people have no interest at all whether it was rigged or not rigged. And so, you know, this story is just going to bubble up and go away, just like the rest of them.
Well,
that's my thoughts.
Well, there's proof positive. Jack Mullen cannot be caught flat-footed and have nothing to say. There you go. Zuckerberg defended his actions despite the fact they were akin to middling and resulted in an alteration of history by helping to propel Biden into the White House. Of course, that's ignoring the massive additional use of Zuckbucks to pay all the mules who were stuffing the ballot boxes. This guy, Zuckerberg, seems to me to have been as responsible as anyone for the theft of the election in 2020. Our protocol is different than Twitter's, he said. What Twitter did was, you can't share this at all. We didn't do that. To quote motivational speaker Mac Foley, well, Lottie freaking da. Here's Josh Hawley. So the FBI preemptively warned Facebook off Hunter Biden laptop, reporting the same agency effectively longered Russian disinfo in the 2016 election in the form of the Steele dossier, and later lied to a court to get wiretaps, which they used to spy on the Trump campaign. Did they specifically say you needed to be on guard about that story? Rogan asked. No, I don't remember it was specific, but it basically fit the pattern. Here's Evan Meals Chong tweeting. If you're wondering why Facebook almost immediately censored the New York Post story on Hunter Biden's laptop, Zuckerberg tells Joe Rogan the FBI warned the company about Russian disinformation right before the story went live. Former Intel officer dutifully completed the circle, feeding the narrative that Hunter Biden's laptop was disinformation. In a letter signed by over 15 Intel officers, published just weeks before the election, they admitted they do not know if the email on Hunter Biden's laptop are genuine, but they do not, and that they do not have evidence of Russian involvement, but published the letter nevertheless, essentially citing a hunch. They somehow magically warned about a hunch, just as the laptop scandal is beginning to emerge in like clockwork. Facebook and Twitter leaped into action. Here is a Miranda Devine. They destroyed their reputation by signing this letter and then not recanting for 16 months and counting. Some of these people appear to this day on CNN and MSNBC as esteemed experts on the war on Ukraine. The least they should do is declare conflict of interest. Chuck Grassley now, who's like now the conscience of the Senate, a role in the past played by Paul Wellstone, has written to Christopher Wray and Attorney General Garland, claiming FBI had, where they claimed the FBI had information on alleged criminal, financial, and related activity engaged by Hunter, but rather than investigate, set up a team to discredit it as disinformation, a move that caused investigative activity to cease. Here's Jeff Carlson tweeting. Away from the obvious fact the FBI needs to be completely dismantled, is anyone else a little alarmed at how casually Zuckerberg admits this? Outrage abounded after he admitted to suppressing the Biden story. The FBI rigged the 2020 election, accused editor-in-chief of the Federalist Molly Hemingway, a good person. Babylon Bee CEO Seth Dellen simply wrote, collusion. Here's Blake Masters tweeting. Zuckerberg admits that the FBI decides what you're allowed to know, even and especially when it incriminates Joe Biden. If you, dear reader, were still under the illusion that the alphabet agencies are just impartial police looking out for the folks, let this disabuse you of that notion. Zuckerberg's feigned regret should be dismissed out of hand. It sucks that they censored a completely legitimate story about Hunter and Joe Biden because the FBI warned them of Russian propaganda. Sure thing, Chief. But you know what was never censored or suppressed prior to the 2020 election? Multiple false news stories about Donald Trump. Why did you choose to only quash a story that benefited one candidate in the election? Matt Wolking tweets, interesting that Facebook suppressed none of the fake negative stories about Trump as a result of this FBI warning. And it should be noted that Facebook didn't stop there. Like Twitter, they would later ban Donald Trump, the sitting president of the United States, from their platform. These comments should be a massive news story. It's evidence and proof of one of the largest efforts to interfere in an election in modern time comes straight from a bureau supposed to protect the integrity of this nation and uphold its laws. The only question now is, what are Republicans going to do about it, Jack, unless they regain control of at least one of the houses of Congress? They may be unable to do anything about it. Well, I do believe there's going to be a red wave. The Democrats are going out of their way to do everything to forestall it, including bribing young people with a student loan forgiveness program. Jack, they're talking about some 42 million students at 10,000 as I multiply. That's $420 trillion. Where the hell is that money supposed to come from? I mean, this is as grotesque as it gets. Your thoughts?
I'm glad you brought up the economy. That's something I'm prepared to talk about since I now write a weekly commentary on the silver and gold markets. So what we realize now is, or what I can tell you for certain, is that there's no such thing as the American economy anymore. There is no system of we pay taxes and they spend money from the taxes, and when they're out of money, they're out of money. This is devolved into an entirely money out of thin air racket. And the idea is to destroy the American currency. And I think that the plan is to destroy it by sometime before the end of 2023. It's rapidly deteriorating right now. It's cratering. And each one of these moves, like the Inflation Reduction Act that was just signed into law, is another example of extreme insanity, which is mislabeled with weaponized words. It's not going to reduce inflation. It's going to cause and create more inflation. And what you just noted there is the same thing. It's a situation where the government will come in and backstop this. Maybe the taxes of the individuals will get raised a bit just to keep us in a stronger death grip of slavery, but we have no possibility of paying for it. The United States is in a situation where it's the most in debt nation on earth, with 15 plus trillion short term and well over 100 in long term responsibilities in terms of debt, probably closer to 200. It's in massive collapse now, as we can see by interest rates going up. The 10-year yield is being massively it's in a war, I should say, with the Federal Reserve and BlackRock, which BlackRock is now part of the Federal Reserve, or in the sense that they both are working together to control inflation, which what that means is they're buying all assets on the planet. They basically own 40% of the housing market right now, and that will continue to grow as they attempt to throw more capital into this system to keep the interest rates down, but they're losing that battle. And as the interest rates go up, and you can watch the 10-year yield and see that happening in real time, you'll see that it is over 3%, or it was the last time I looked yesterday, and the struggle will be to get it back down towards 2.5, and then it'll be above it again within somewhere within a week, and it's been as high as 3.5%. So what we're seeing now is hyperinflation, and this hyperinflation will continue, and it's one of the worst punishments of a civilization that you can have. It was, understood by Marx and Lenin that the best way to destroy a civilization is to debauch its currency. And we see what's happened in the past when people go into hyperinflation. They lose all of their wealth, everything they ever worked for. It becomes difficult to obtain any kind of item. Not to mention the United States, they're destroying the food supply. So the supply chain and eliminating animals from our diet, substituting things like crickets. And so we're going to see, prices continue to rise over the next year and a half to where people will be begging for some sort of solution. And that solution is already been created a long time ago. It'll take the form of something they call a cryptocurrency. It'll be a digital currency, not necessarily a cryptocurrency in the standard sense and understanding of a cryptocurrency, because those types of ideas were designed to give more power to the individual and more the ability to be less transparent in your activities. This will be absolutely the opposite. Everything that you do will be watched, monitored. It will be converted into a system where we can then expect Chinese-style social crediting to be added to the cryptocurrency bank account that you have, so that your money will be not only have a negative interest rate, meaning you have to spend it, and if you don't, it just goes away on its own. You will also likely be forced to live in certain ways and certain places and not shop in certain things or buy certain things. Certainly guns will be curtailed. And if you don't, you'll find that your access to your resources are cut off as well. So all of this plays together. It's a giant, just throw everything at it to create the worst possible condition for inflation and then let inflation do its own work. And that is what is happening right now. And that's why we're seeing prices of everything going through the roof. It's not that things are more expensive. It's the dollar is buying less, and it will continue to buy less and less. And that's why everyone has to make some preparations for that. And you can find lots of good information, Jim, on how to do it.
Well, Jack, I think you're spot on across the board there. But it's staggering to me how all this has happened in such a relatively brief period of time. I mean, even during the Trump administration, things were relatively good. The economy was strong. He'd made us energy independent. I think a lot of us felt life was worth living. He clamped down on the border. And in this relatively brief time, less than 2 years since Biden came in, the United States has turned into the world's largest, most humongous pile of shit. How did this happen, Joe? And how could it happen so very fast?
Well, I disagree that the economy was in good shape when Trump was in office. And you and I have had this discussion multiple times. The situation was that the news media was supporting the idea that the economy was in good shape, and the information was fabricated. And everything that we hear from the sources we believe or where we get this information from, like mainstream media, the information is total nonsense, and it can be manipulated one way or another. The proof is in the pudding, and unemployment continued to grow during the Trump years. And I don't have all that Trump data anymore because I don't care, and you know that. But I kept regular records of it during that time period, the various aspects of the economy that were being shown to be in wonderful shape when, in fact, they weren't. And unemployment was one of those places where they just stopped counting unemployment through various protocols. And, you know, depending on how long you're unemployed, you were no longer counted. If you had multiple jobs at the same time, you're only counted as having one. And so these are things that were done during that period of time. The Trump show and the Biden show are both scripted by the same masters. They are both designed to create a divisive world where we have people that are like you and me and our friends that want the world that we grew up in back. We also live by a code of reason, and we understand the laws of reality. And we want a world that recognizes that. We want a system of government that places reality and reason to be, the law of the land. And obviously, we're not going to get that. And I don't think there's any chance whatsoever that we'll see that ever come back to this civilization, because no one remains that has even enough knowledge to form a comprehensive set of paragraphs in their mind about what should be done. And I just don't have any faith in the two-party system. I believe that the entire Trump-Biden thing was constructed and still constructed. I think, you know, when the time comes for Trump to run again, and he probably will, that'll be another setup for violence and massive controlled by various aspects, agencies of the government that attempt to stand up and prevent Trump from being able to run again or take office. The election itself ought to be very interesting to see how they manipulate the votes. I mean, the election fraud that we saw in the last election was as clear as day. But this time, you know, it probably will be something that is so absurd that, you know, we'll laugh about it for years in the future. But I don't see anything left here, and I don't see the Trump economy being anything more than a stepping stone towards the economy we're in today. The United States has been spending way past its ability to clear the debt for a long, long time. They've been creating money from thin air. Catherine Austin Fitz found $21 trillion in a slush fund that is used to manipulate the markets. You know, like, for example, the stock market. And the stock market is a joke. It's no place where the value of some company is determined by competitive action, and you get price discovery. It is simply numbers that are inflated on a daily basis because people like the Federal Reserve and BlackRock buy the stocks, and the stocks continue to go up and up and up. And then the mainstream media can point at the stock market, as Trump did over and over and over. Look at the stock market while I was in office. Well, the same thing was happening. These slush funds, et cetera, were being used to boost the price of stocks. While in the meantime, you know, the banks are selling their own debt. We see rising interest rates, which cripple everyone. I mean, in the near future, we're going to see a currency, a crippling of a lack of currency, a currency crisis. And that comes whenever the interest rates rise and currency becomes harder and harder to gather, you know, for purposes of things like working capital in a business, et cetera. And so that leads into a currency crisis and a credit crisis and a credit crunch, as they call it. And that's a situation which then will probably cause interest rates to go through the roof and the price of bonds to drop like crazy. So, I mean, all this has been planned. Trump's just a player. And basically there's nothing we can do about that. We have to work outside of this system. I recommend people become their own banks. My articles and my thoughts on the economy are that you only have one choice now, and that is to move your assets out of the dollar and into something that it will retain value even after the dollar has no value. The dollar is headed for a position like all of the fiat currencies in the past that were based on debt. And that is, it'll be worth the paper and the ink that is printed. And that's it. And it will be basically, you know, something people use to start fires. And so if you're still holding all your assets in dollars, and 99.9% of the people in this country are, your assets are going to go the same place the dollar does. It's going to go to zero. And so for those that can think and want to, you know, get off the grid, economic grid, and get out of this system before they impose this crypto nightmare, you know, you're going to have to think about things that hold value that you can use as fungible currency, things like gold and silver. And I think silver is the most undervalued asset that we have that we can get our hands on the planet. Now, you know, being undervalued is one thing, but a lot of things are undervalued, but you can't get your hands on them. But silver's there still. You can get your hands on it. They drive the price down every single day. It's locked in a little area where it's not allowed to move on purpose. And it's been that way for a decade. And the purpose of keeping silver's price low is to prevent the dollar from being shown to be what it is, having no purchasing power. And so if the price of silver rises, that means that it takes more dollars to buy it, which indicates inflation. And also a devaluing of the dollar. So these prices are manipulated low on purpose, and that means, wow, we get to take advantage of it. No
Jack,
time in history to buy it.
Take a deep breath, my friend. We'll be right back with Jack Ford.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my featured guest, Jack Mullen, argues his case well. I would offer as contraindications by way of rebuttal that if they were playing on the same script, playing on the same team, reading from the same script, then why would it have been necessary to get rid of Trump in the first place? Why not continue with a man immensely popular? He won, by legitimate count, 410 electoral votes in the 2020 election. Why not simply move forward? Instead, they went way out of their way to steal the election. As Jack himself observes, it was as plain as day. Mark Zuckerberg played a major role. Mike Lindell had a three-day marathon presenting proof after proof after proof. We got the Dinesh D'Souza 2,000 mules, where there appeared to have been as many as 58,000 mules, where they were being paid $10 per fake ballot they stuffed into these drop boxes. Mark Zuckerberg allocated $400 million at $10. That's 40 million fake ballots. They've sought to impeach him twice. They've sought to find him guilty of insurrection with a January 6th. They're continuing to pursue it. They have gone way out of their way to try to get rid of this guy. They've even now conducted this raid on Mar-a-Lago, and it's clear this is an effort once again to try to find some ground to preclude him from running again for office. And I would therefore ask Jack, why would they be going out of their way? Because in my opinion, this is the strongest evidence that they're not playing on the same team, that they're not reading from the same script, but that in fact there's a very real difference between them where, notwithstanding all of his flaws and shortcomings, which I readily admit, I believe Donald Trump really has the best interest of America at heart, and he really does want to save America. Your thoughts?
you're familiar with the idea of the dialectic, right? And so in this situation, we're observing the dialectic. We remember that part of the plan for the people that are controlling the world, and they said so overtly, is to downsize this population. One of the problems they have remaining in front of them, if they are going to move aggressively against the rest of the populations of the planet, is the United States is still armed. And it, for whatever reason or however anyone feels about that, that's fairly significant. And the people that still cling bitterly to their weapons and their Bibles are very formidable people. They're a block of basically white men, but not necessarily completely white. But they are a block of people that know how to use their weapons. There are people that have that do regular training with their weapons. Many of them have military backgrounds. And there's a large percentage, I think maybe, 20-25% of military people that recently retired over the last 5 years or so. They did so because they couldn't stand what they were seeing any further, and they're trained and capable of some sort of conflict resolution if necessary. I think they're the most scary block of people on the earth. I'm glad they're on our side. Now, in this situation, in order to take down the United States, it's got to be done very slowly, and it's going to take give and take. The idea with Trump was to provide a phony leader to mostly white men and women who would give lip service to the sort of things they wanted to see happen, but never actually accomplish any of it. And, as far as Trump being worried about our health, Trump knows as well as you and I do that the vaccine is a massive killer. And yet still in conversations, he's promoting it. And he believes himself the creator of, Operation Warp Speed and that he should be famous for this. When in fact, it's a genocidal biological weapon that is murdering mass amounts of people and maiming millions more. So Trump's not on our side. He was funded by Jewish oligarchs. He came up through the Jewish mafia in real estate in New York. He was bailed out by Jewish oligarchs four times. He's an individual who's been seen in many compromising positions. And when it comes out, I think you'll find that he's no different than the gang of people that hang around him, like Jeffrey Epstein and Roy Krone and the gang. So I believe that the reason that this has taken place like this is to fester that difference between the block of people that are no longer able to think at all, in my opinion, those that we refer to as the left, and those remaining American supporters on the right that want their world back and are still armed. And no other nation in the world is, as armed as the United States. And the only places you have armed people outside of the United States that are functioning in a way where they could be dangerous is in places where there's no law at all. And these people are maintaining control of their own tribes or places in where they reside, et cetera. In Western world, the nations have been disarmed. And so, for example, we saw a story yesterday or maybe a day or so ago came out in the and I have this article right here. Came out in the Daily Mail about a Liverpool gun wars innocent victim, girl 9, who was shot dead. And she was shot dead because some person forced his way into her home while chasing another guy down the street who he planned to kill and was unable to get into the doorway. And then he began to open fire on the woman that was behind the door. And he shot that woman and killed her daughter, then broke into the house and shot the guy he was looking for twice. Now, this is in a nation that's been completely disarmed and where you cannot cry for gun control. And it's an amazing fact. And we're kind of moving away from your topic a bit here.
No, I like it. Go.
It all works together here. This gun control thing has nothing to do with controlling violence from guns. And if they wanted to control violence from guns, they'd drive through the cities, the streets of Chicago, and remove weapons from people that, are killing people every single day of the week. The police would go through and maintain some sort of vigilant stance of siege and and confiscate the weapons from people that are using them in a way that the mainstream media would have you believe that the average American is using these weapons. But that's not the case. The case is that we have to get the weapons away from those who know how to use them, who have access to actual weapons that can protect the people, including themselves, which would be what they call assault weapons, which is just another misnaming on purpose to make it sound like a deadly, more deadly item than, say, another gun. Guns are not deadly at all. It's only the people that control them that are deadly. And so this Liverpool thing gives us a great example of how this thing is a total failure. So, for example, in the UK, I was reading some data this morning, and I want to thank George Friend for sending me this information. There's a 51% increase in gun crime over last year. And yet these guns were banned, 10 years ago? I don't know, a long time ago. And so we can't cry, you know, we need gun control. You just can't ban it again. And that's the same thing we see with drugs. You know, the drugs are all banned, and yet we are seeing more and more young Americans die from drug overdoses and drug-related situations than ever before. And so none of this banning stuff is because it's achieving its goal in what we are told the goal is, but in fact it's achieving the goal exactly what they expect it to do. You know, the drugs laced with fentanyl on the street now, those drugs are being manufactured in the United States, probably under Big Pharma in laboratories that make regular medicine. And the purpose of these drugs are to destroy the fighting age American male. And those are the largest victims. And so this is just deliberately distributing poison on the street, calling it something else. You know, maybe it's cocaine or whatever. And then suddenly these people have some fentanyl-laced drug and they're dead. Gun control has the same outcome. The only time we need gun control is when the government is getting prepared to do a genocide. And so, we see that school down in Texas where the last false flag shooting was there, that U of AT school. I don't say its name properly.
Uvalde?
Yeah, Uvalde. So we're seeing another lawsuit against a gun manufacturer there. And
for $27 billion, Jack. I mean, what a joke.
Yeah. And so, you know, how in America can you sue the manufacturer of the hammer for murder and damages because someone hit somebody over the head with a hammer? And so that's absolutely outside of law, reason, and natural thinking, natural law of any kind. And that's what's being done. And these are step-by-step procedures, just like the Remington case was a way in which we could somehow work our way to blaming gun manufacturers for the deaths and not the people themselves and personal responsibility. And this is what we're seeing. And this is what everyone has to keep in mind going forward. I will not give up my guns. I don't care how many people are supposedly shot in schools. I don't care about how many people are, murdered in any given situation. My guns are about my protection. And they're about my family's protection and all those that I love. And they are the only last resort against a government planning massive genocide. And that's exactly what the Trump-Biden situation is about. We see reports of people saying that at some point the United Nations troops will show up in the United States for purposes of disarming Americans. I mean, it's a bleak future. And without even an access to a weapon, you've got nothing. I mean, you're basically finished. You got rocks. You can throw some hammers. And that's my opinion on why Trump he lost the last election. and then in the next election, he'll probably win again, which will bring the other side out in violence. And those that are funded by the apparatus that people blame on George Soros, et cetera, will be armed. And the armed conflict will, start in earnest. And I don't think it should go much further past that. I mean, Trump likely will be the last president. And I believe this was already designed. And I think there's a lot of evidence that that's the case.
Well, that's great stuff, Jack. Let me make two or three comments. Number one, your point about gun crime in the UK is impeccable. That's extremely valuable because, after all, these gun control laws are directed to law-abiding citizens. So they're taking guns away from the citizens who would uphold the law. They're doing nothing about the criminals. So what they're doing, in effect, is creating free fire zones, just as you're observing in the UK. I think that's really excellent empirical evidence about the absurdity of the gun control laws. Number two, a recent political cartoon observes that the government, why would be wanting to take guns away from American citizens unless they were planning to do something you would shoot them for? And I think that's a crystal clear embodiment of the situation we're up against. And number three, the Democrats are now pivoting about the vax, and they're going to blame it all on Trump to say all the lockdown, everything else was Trump responsibility in an effort to regain some ground as we approach a midterm election. It is a brilliant political tactic, in my opinion, especially since, as you observe, Trump has been mistakenly proud of his contribution toward warp speed and the vax. He ought to be denouncing it, recognize that the vast amount of accumulated data, millions upon millions dead, and we're going to have billions dead from the vax before it's over, and staggering numbers of adverse effects, heart attacks, blood clots, brain damage, the whole bit. He ought to disavow it, and he ought to disavow it now. The sooner the better for Trump. And I'm bewildered that he's not put two and two together and recognize, as he ought to admit, that he was played, because I do not personally believe he would have been complicit in any such scheme, but I do believe he was played. And now, I don't know if he's incapable of admitting he's wrong. The American people are very forgiving. He needs to admit he was wrong, 100% wrong about the vax. The vax is bad. No one should take the vax, and he's apologetic about the role he had in bringing it to the American people. That would be my advice to Donald J. Trump. Your thoughts?
I hope Paul's not listening. Anyway, I think I don't think that's going to happen. I think the vaccine was part of what he was designed to do, to convince people that it was safe and effective. He claims he took the vaccine himself, claims he even took the booster. He's not dead right now, and he's not suffering from any heart condition. So I'm pretty certain that he didn't take either one of those vaccines. And I think that the entire thing was staged to get the same lot of people that I'm telling you that Trump represents, sorry for my voice, to voluntarily take a lethal injection. So this is planned suicide for the white voting bloc of American men and women that support Trump even to this day with all their hearts. And still can't see any of the dark side of his background. They don't have any idea his allegiance to Israel, the most hostile and terrorist-like nation on the planet. And yet Trump is beholden to this country, even has a neighborhood named after him in the Golan Heights area. And so I think that it's just a matter of convincing as many white people as possible to take the vaccine, and that Trump is never going to ever walk that back. Now, we're seeing people like Fauci bow down and get out. And, you know, we have to wonder what's going on there. Fauci, already a relic, been harming people for 50 years, pretending to be something that is supposed to do no harm, when in fact he's a raging psychopath and has been. And, you know, he came on to, he got on the radar with the AIDS epidemic in the 80s. And he's somebody that we can follow through each one of these attempts to mass inoculate the population. And they were, you know, basically outed as genocide weapons and stopped pretty quickly. He helped create the idea that HIV is actually a virus and that AIDS is the result of it, et cetera, bilking the American people out of billions and billions of dollars for vaccine production, restricting entry into the market by any other group through patents that would maybe produce solutions to any problem, not just AIDS, but because only certain groups get to produce the solution for these manufactured diseases, they are the ones who benefit highly. Now, at the same time, we got the CDC backing down from the entire COVID militarized tactics. You know, we don't really need masks now, and maybe we ought to let people have their own immunity and let them have the right to choose. These things are simultaneously happening, and I listened to a little bit of Megan, what's her name? Megan Kelly's speech about Fauci, which, you know, it's nice to hear somebody say, good riddance. There, you got it right there.
Yeah.
And you know, you can get some sort of pleasure out of hearing her repeatedly denounce him as a liar, and a variety of other things that she said about him, while at the same time she gives she carries the water for the CDC, and by, you know, bringing in comments like the CDC, you know, early on said that masks, you know, were not as effective as people were being told they were effective. So I'm seeing this as a way in which they can still continue to manufacture some kind of validation and support and you know, belief in this thing called the Centers for Disease Creation, and move away the animosity Americans have from being misled by these corporations who are funded only from the vaccines themselves, deciding who should take vaccines. And, you know, this is something that a lot of Americans are waking up to. And the CDC has come under an amazing amount of fire. And, you know, they're an imaginary company who were created out of thin air to benefit from vaccine patents. The same as the World Health Organization is just somebody's idea. Let there be, you know, let them eat cake. I mean, it's a fiat thing. And then they suddenly start pronouncing world health doctrine. I mean, the World Health Organization has been influencing health policy in the United States since the 60s. And they basically were entitled through treaty to control the American health system as far back as the 60s. Just that Americans don't know this. And now we're seeing it come out in the open. But these groups are just, you know, criminal corporations benefiting from the very thing in which they are telling us that we have to have by force. I mean, there's no conflict of interest in that idea. And so I believe that that's what's going on with this Fauci thing. It's time for Fauci to get out anyway. He's serving his purpose now as being thrown under the bus. A lot of people will take out, instead of, you know, sharing it with Bill Gates from hell, you know, Fauci will be the mainstream whipping boy, it looks like, for the foreseeable future. And that's what I think is happening there.
Well, let me just pick up on some of what Megan had to say. She ripped White House Chief Medical Advisor Anthony Fauci Wednesday. Former anchor blasted Fauci, said he would consider testifying before Congress after he steps down. But frankly, I believe that's why he's retiring. So he'll be outside of the grasp of the Congress when the Republicans take control, because they've already declared that they're going to do research. They're going to haul him before Congress and interrogate him. She said on the Megyn Kelly show on Sirius, F you, Fauci, you don't get to say whether you go. You get a congressional subpoena, you show up, or you get the Steve Bannon treatment. In a monologue, she savaged him of lying repeatedly to the American people and encouraging policies that failed to slow the spread of COVID, but succeeded in tearing the country apart. The truth is, Dr. Fauci, who had a greater hand than anyone in causing Americans to lose their jobs, years of learning, even their lives, thanks to the social and economic upheaval he helped foist upon us during the pandemic, ought to be ashamed to show his face in polite society. Instead, the man is self-congratulatory. She tore into his record, blaming his COVID recommendations for encouraging politicians to enact lockdown policies that killed jobs, kept children out of school, and tanked the economy. She accused him of lying about his views on masks, misleading the public by shifting goalposts to get people to accept harsh pandemic restrictions. Fauci and the CDC ignored evidence that contradicted their guidance and arrogantly declared anyone who disagreed with their positions was criticizing science. He mocked the idea of natural immunity, eliminating the need for his mandatory beloved vaccine, despite admitting years earlier that natural immunity is, in fact, the gold standard. His unexplained reversal cost millions their livelihoods. As of October 2021, 5% of their unvaxxed said they lost a job due to a vax mandate. She reviewed how truckers, healthcare workers, police officers, military members have been forced out of their job because of their conviction about the vax. But Fauci's biggest lie was under oath when he said his group at the NIH never funded gain of research, function research in Wuhan, China, the kind of experiments on bat coronaviruses to make them more lethal, more transmissible in humans. I believe, in fact, this was actually engineered in a lab, quite possibly in Ukraine. Though I'm also open that Fort Detrick in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where I once taught myself, were also instrumental. You got Greg Price tweeting, Cavuto asks, do you think shutdowns, particularly for kids who couldn't go to school, that's forever damaged them? Fauci, oh, I don't think it's irreparably damaged anyone. Those who know just the mass have changed their mind because kids were unable to watch adults form words. They've lost their ability for verbal learning. They can't even talk right. This is that turned all of our schools into remedial education centers. This is irreparable damage, Jack, I'm telling you. I like that Megyn Kelly is practicing journalism, and she appears to be among the few. I put Tucker up there, of course. And Jesse Waters, I don't know if you've been following, is coming into his own when Tucker took a week off. It was during all this Mar-a-Lago, and Jesse was just doing a sensational job.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special guest today, Jack Mullen. As I was upstairs getting a cup of coffee, they were reporting on MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell, about the DOJ having released a redacted version of the affidavit. Now, I'm interested in which affidavit this is. We have a report here, and I want to get Jack's take on it. Where Judicial Watch, which is a very good organization, achieved a key court victory over the Biden DOJ attempt to keep the Trump affidavit completely sealed. They rejected that effort and required that it be released, perhaps in a redacted version. Now, apparently that has happened. And what I had the impression here, I have a copy here of an affidavit signed by Patrick Michael Byrne that I've been given to believe was a basis. My wife could not confirm that was the case. And Jack, I don't know if you can do a quick search and see what they have claimed to have released, but if it is the Byrne affidavit, then I have the Byrne affidavit right here and we can go through it. Can we verify that it is or is not the Byrne affidavit that's just been released? This will be the biggest news right now on all the media, especially any controlled by the Democrats. Which is...
Okay, well, I'm looking. Go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah, which is, I was going to say, close to all, you know, except for the alternative media. You find anything about the release? It should be in the latest news report.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the New York Post article up here.
Tell us.
But I don't. It's just said the Justice Department today released a heavily redacted affidavit justifying the unprecedented FBI raid.
Does it name who authored the affidavit? Does it say how many pages? Because the Byrne is 38-page
affidavit.
A 38-page affidavit.
Yeah. And
tell us what it says. Tell us what the article says then.
U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhardt, who approved the warrant that led to the August 8th raid, had ordered the unsealing of the blacked out affidavit. I'm asking, can you read a word of it? The government is conducting a criminal investigation concerning the improper removal and storage of classified information in unauthorized spaces, as well as the unlawful concealment or removal of government records. The 38-page affidavit started. The identity of the FBI agent who filed the affidavit was among the first details to be redacted, of course. The eagerly awaited release came after the department had tried to fight it, insisting it comprised key details that were highly likely to compromise future investigative steps. Are you hearing me fine, Jim?
Oh, yeah, sure, Jack. Completely, okay. Completely. Yeah, no, this is good. This is good. We need okay. to... Because I've obviously been laboring under the false impression it was this Patrick Byrne affidavit, which had to do with a conversation between Trump and Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn and so forth, where he was going to appoint her as a special counsel to investigate election fraud, that, as though that had been the center of attention. But it sounds to me, if this is a 38-page affidavit, that's not the case.
However, after reviewing the DOJ's proposed redactions, the judge on Thursday ordered the release in an acknowledgement of the extraordinary public interest in the historic investigation. The government has met its burden of showing that its proposed redactions are narrowly tailored to serve the government's legitimate interest in the integrity of the ongoing investigation and are the least onerous alternative to sealing the entire affidavit. The blacked out sections hide many key unanswered questions about the raid on August 8, during which officials say 11 sets of classified documents, including information marked at the top secret, were retrieved. That includes hiding the identity of witnesses and key details about the strategy, direction, scope, and sources and methods of the investigation that sparked a huge political firestorm. Trump, 76 years old, had instead repeatedly demanded the full unredacted document be released. On Thursday, he insisted that he was an innocent person. The FBI carried away more than 20 boxes from Mar-a-Lago with 11 sets of classified government records, some labeled top secret. The search was part of a federal investigation into whether Trump illegally removed and kept documents from the White House when he left the office in 2021 and whether he tried to obstruct the government's investigation. The documents the FBI seized were in addition to 700 pages worth of classified records the National Archives recovered from Mar-a-Lago in January, some of which entailed special access program materials, a reference to security protocols reserved for the country's most closely held secrets.
Let me just mention that the statutes that the FBI cited here have been superseded by the Presidential Records Act, and two experts have reported, as I explained yesterday, that all these documents were boxed up by the National Archives and given to Trump, so that if there was something there that shouldn't have been there, it was the National Archives' responsibility, not Trump, and that the FBI clearly had overly broad warrant. The warrant included everything a document ever produced the entire 4 years that Trump was in office. That's absurdly vague and broad. A proper warrant has to be very narrow and specific, identify the specific item for which they're searching at a specific location. And they appear to have just run roughshod through Mar-a-Lago. They asked that the cameras be turned off. They were initially then turned back on. Now, if you're conducting a proper raid, you'd like to have the cameras on to show that everything you did was in accordance with the law, but that was not the attitude of the FBI. They took, just as one illustration, three passports that they were not entitled to take right off the bat when Trump complained about it. Norm O'Donnell claimed she asked the FBI if they had them, and they said they were not in their possession, which he reported meaning they'd never taken them, but they were not in their possession because they'd already returned them. So the FBI is talking out of both sides of its mouth. I believe this warrant was unconstitutionally vague, even if they obtained some evidence, and I doubt there was any that was incriminating of Trump. It would not be admissible in a court of law because it would be what's known as the fruit of a poisonous tree. So I find all this quite outrageous. And, of course, the raid itself has galvanized support for Trump, as I'm sure you're aware, Jack. I mean, if there was any doubt about whether or not Trump would be the candidate in 2024, that is now long since resolved, in my opinion. And I think this is going to prove to be another futile effort to deprive him of the right to run again, which I reiterate, I take to be evidence that he's not the same as the other guy. I mean, I don't buy into the two parties as the two wings of the same bird, but we've discussed that before. And you certainly argue your case well. Further thoughts, anything else you've seen in this Post article?
Well, this one's short. It's almost over. Attorney General Merrick Garland confirmed he had personally approved the extraordinary raid. Biden, of course, said he didn't have any advance notice of the raid. Well, he's probably asleep. None zero, he said, not one single bit. Trump has filed a separate civil case asking another judge to halt the FBI's review of the seized records pending the appointment of special master to independently review materials that could be protected under executive privilege, a legal principle that lets a president shield some information. It sure does. So that's the end of this article. I don't see anything gleaned here new that.
It's only a few paragraphs, then, if you read the totality of it, right?
I did. And, all the rest of the talking mainstream media have their versions of it out, CNBC and, Huffington Post, et cetera. but it looks like by just looking at them in the search mode here that they all have the same text, pretty much the same thing. So that's all I know about that raid. I think that raid was something that deliberately has been done to do what you just said. Because it's unprecedented. It's disrespectful to the idea of the American president. But since we know the American presidents are historically criminals, essentially since sometime after after 1900 and got progressively worse after they murdered JFK. I'm not too bothered by that. But if this were the country that we believed it was, that would be certainly something that should have caused everybody in the country to be upset about, whether you're left or right. And but again, this thing is designed to trigger and cause the sort of outcry that you're hearing, and I believe that Trump will be, the next president. And as I've already said, and won't go over again.
Jack, we've talked about some major issues here. Would you care to comment on the role of Ukraine? You've even had the head of the Rothschild family say that with Ukraine, they cannot have the Great Reset and the New World Order. I believe this is of extraordinary importance, and that Vladimir Putin is unqualifiedly the good guy here, and the West and NATO and the United States are the bad. Your further thoughts about Ukraine?
Well, I don't think that Vladimir Putin is a good guy. I think that that he represents the two sides of the Jewish dichotomy that is being used as a dialectic to destroy the world. You have Zionism, which is the Ukraine, and then you have communism, which is the former Soviet Union and now masked as whatever they claim to be today. And then you have the various Jewish oligarchs that are on both sides of the fence there that have historically battled, and Jews are historically known for battling among themselves. But when the time comes to resolve to a single decision after whatever time that takes, they always coalesce together and create something that's the best in the best interest of Jewry as a whole. And in this case, we have Zionism, which is the idea of creating a single nation to control the world, to maintain the sacrifices, to do the world court. And to provide the only religion. And then you have communism, which is designed to destroy all the nations and historically was created in that for that purpose. And communism is the dialectic that we see in the United States today, in the sense that we hear weaponized language that is being used by both sides in order to create a division between the parties, between people, between races. And that is a nation destroyer. And I don't know whether you saw the article from Chuck Baldwin a few weeks ago, and I'm trying to find it on my desktop, which is a mess. But he wrote an article asking if I'm going to look it up here. I don't want to misquote this.
Sure.
Is Israel planning to relocate to the Ukraine? And I read this and I was like, wow, this is I've interviewed Chuck Baldwin many times. I think he's a very intelligent individual who does clearly understand what's happening to America. He fully understands what's being done to Christianity and what the meaning of Christian Zionist is and how that's so destructive to Christianity and to America. But he's making an argument in this article that it's possible that Israel is making a move to move from what he called a dry and inhospitable patch of rock and sand on the eastern Mediterranean coast, where they are isolated amid a vast human ocean of Muslim and Christian populations and cultures, to Europe and the Ukraine. And he further stipulates that he's not trying to be anti-Semitic here. I'm not anyone, he says, nor an opponent of any people, ethnic group, or nation. In fact, I'm immensely sympathetic towards anyone caught in the absurdities and violence of life in this world today. But let's be realistic. Look at Israel's present condition. But first, back up a bit. It's commonly held belief that the British originally gave in and designated Palestine as the future homeland for Jewish people as an attempt to establish a pro-Western beachhead in a region in the mineral wealth of the Mideast. Fast forward through a century of the U.S. war on terror, which has failed miserably. This was a campaign that was obviously meant to run interference for Israel and its emergence as a leading regional power in the Middle East. And look at the number of nations the war on terror was meant to take out. And, you know, we all heard General Wesley Clark, who himself was a Jew, talking about
this taking out the seven governments in the next 5 years. Right. Yeah.
So he continues through a lot of stuff. He says Israel's economy is weak, continues to depend on the USA and donations from American Jews. Those predicting a short-term existential crisis and collapse include not just Israel's external opponents, but many intelligent, influential Israelis themselves. So he wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the U.S. plan for wresting the Ukraine away from Russia, a plan that was ongoing for more than 30 years, ever since the breakup of the Soviet Union, may always have been to capturing it a Jewish refuge. Now, we know, you and I, Jim, that the Ukraine was the home of the Ashkenazi Jew. The Ashkenazi Jews are the ones that populated from the former Soviet Union blocks the country that became Israel, which is essentially Palestine. And these are no more Jews than probably you and I are.
It's so ironic, Jack, that because the present population of Israel is predominantly Ashkenazi Jews who are not descended from the tribe of Judah, they are actually not Semites, whereas the Palestinians are bona fide Semites, which means that Israel, ironically, turns out to be the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today.
Absolutely. And the greatest apartheid state in the world today. And the greatest racist state in the world today. And they do so and flaunt it. They don't hide it, and they certainly don't apologize for being massively supremacist and racist.
Just to pick up on that, look how the diagnosis of how to create a fault line in the United States to divide Americans has been chosen to be racism, resurrecting old conflicts long since resolved, taking down the statues of leaders that were part of the reconciliation between the North and the South, showing mutual respect, trying to really suppress, conceal American history. This extends, of course, to guns and how important they are to our nation and its founders, because they wanted to have a citizen army that could come to the defense of the nation, just as we have discussed. I mean, it's stunning, Jack, what's going on here. And that the Democrats have bought into it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, America, in my opinion, is the least racist nation in the world, or among them. We've done all the Civil Rights Act of 1964, all the anti-discrimination laws, and the Democrats are inverting them, and they're moving to discriminate against whites as though that were not just as illegal and unlawful as discriminating against blacks. It's just breathtaking, the arrogance and the stupidity, but politically driven for what appears to be sinister intent.
Clearly, and clearly the white man is under attack and has been for a long time, and is being edged away from his world and his way of life. I just saw something today. It just flashed in my mind. It's germane, and it was about quotas for, I don't know, whether it was jobs or roles as teachers in colleges, but some sort of quota system very similar to the quota system that was developed in South Africa when the whites lost their country there, engineered by Jews, that would prohibit whites from having jobs or whatever that particular thing was about. I apologize. I just glanced at it. Was in my 20 minutes to get up to speed here. But when I saw that, I recognized this. You're not going to be able to, you know, have a job or teach or whatever the thing was, except based on your population status.
The whole idea of merit. I mean, they're making appointments on color and gender and not on competence. You're getting the very highly positioned people who are utterly unqualified for their position. Pete Buttigieg is an example. This woman at the Department of Energy is another example. You got the airhead, the vice president of the United States. My God, even this guy who's pretending to be the president is cognitively incompetent. Jack, this is a disgrace. And I don't hear any Democrats who are expressing any anxiety or concern about the absurd situation we're in, where we have basically no government at all.
Right. And they're not going to probably say anything until the food runs out. And they're not going to be able to be prepared in any way, shape, or form to replace their supply, especially since most of them live in the cities. And so the day in which they face the reckoning is coming, whether we like it or not. And we know that the only people that are preparing, for the most part, and I can't be blanket about everything, are those that are thinking the similar fashion that you and I think. I wonder, this article from Baldwin has something that's important for maybe somebody who's just catching up to understand. And he said that, you know, never forget that since World War II, the United States government has not waged a single war or military conflict that did not advance the cause of Zionism in one way or another. And I'm absolutely convinced that that applies to the U.S. war in Ukraine as well. A very strong case can be made that both World War I and II in the first half of the 20th centuries were fought because of Zionist Jewish supremacist interests. And remember, too, that the ethnic cleansing of Arab-speaking Palestinians was a prerequisite to Zionist seizing power in Palestine. And the entire conflict in the Ukraine right now is due to Zelensky's ethnic cleansing of the Russian-speaking people in Donbass. Is this a coincidence? We'll see.
Yeah, clearly it's not a coincidence. And that's wonderful. I'm glad you brought that in, Jack. Do send me a link to that story. I want to pursue that further. That's very, very important. With your concurrence, I'll open the line to callers, so I expect we may not have any until after the break, but I'll open the line. 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452 to call in and speak to Jack Mullen and me about any of these issues. Mitchell will handle your call. And yeah, thanks, Jack, very much for sharing that link with me. We have about 4 to 5 before we hit the break. I'd love to get your overview about the situation we're in, though I think it's pretty clear from everything you've had to say up to this point in time that the situation is grim and that Americans are unprepared, aren't going to know what hit them, Jack. And I do think you're right. We're going to have food shortages in the cities. There's going to be terrorism in the cities. It's going to be all against all. They're going to spread out from the urban centers to the suburb, and any suburban residents who aren't prepared may find their homes are overwhelmed. They're going to take any food you have, any other resources. They'll try to take your guns. If you don't have any guns, you're going to be at their mercy. I say you better not only stock up, but make sure you know how to handle weapons in self-defense. And by the way, although the Democrats suppress it, Americans already use weapons for self-defense millions of times every year, estimated to save 200,000 lives per annum. Just think about that. They bemoan what wind up to be about 70,000 lives lost to gun violence every year. Well, if you took guns away from the American people, you could add 200,000 minimally, because as soon as they take guns away from the law-abiding citizens, the criminals are going to go stark raving mad, just as Jack illustrated with the case in the UK. And by the way, when that happened, I predicted there was going to be a surge of killings using knives. And then they had to ban knives. And I said, well, what's next, potato peelers? And Jack, believe it or not, they banned potato peelers. So, you know, this is just absurd. This is just absurd beyond belief. And that's what's going on. And so many of these morons are these do-good Democrats who think they got to take guns away from law-abiding people just are incapable of thinking things through. I mean, this is just calamitous. It's the worst possible idea, just like defunding the police was a harebrained idea. And you had Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and other loons on the left who were promoting burning our cities, looting, riots. My God, you know, in California now, shoplifting has been essentially decriminalized. You have caravans who are showing up in front of high-end stores and looting them openly in the public, and the police are doing absolutely nothing about it because the DAs won't prosecute. Jack, this is enough to make you vomit.
It's definitely it's a psycho world, and it's getting more psycho, and there's nothing left of the world that I remember. I watched a video a couple days ago of some young male, white man with a mask on in a classroom of what appear to be fourth graders, all wearing masks, all being suffocated, and he's using his position of authority and the vulnerability of the innocence of the children who were built by birth to accept an authority figure telling them the truth, explaining why we are no longer going to be able to eat meat and then how it affects the climate. These things are still...
I know, Jack. Take a deep breath. We'll be right back after this break and looking for your calls. 540-352-4452. Jack and I are here. Call in.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we have an internet issue here with Mitchell taking your call, but you can continue to make the effort to call in. I'm looking at a report here about the affidavit that's been released, and here's part of what it says. Affidavit raises claims about president's absolute authority to declassify documents. Now, frankly, this is well established under the law, so I think this is frankly absurd. Here's what it says. The redacted Mar-a-Lago search warrant affidavit released Friday shows that federal investigators addressed the question of a president's authority to declassify documents, though much of the section is redacted. The affidavit says that former President Trump's counsel asked the Department of Justice to consider a few principles, including the claims that the president has absolute authority to declassify documents, which I understand to be the fact. The affidavit also cites a claim from Kash Patel, a former Trump national security aide, who was named as one of Trump's designees to the National Archives in June. The investigator wrote the affidavit, cited a May article from right-wing website Breitbart, which Patel claimed reports that the National Archives found classified material at Mar-a-Lago were misleading because Trump had declassified the materials. The rest of the section in the affidavit, however, is classified, so it's not clear why federal investigators cited Patel's comments. Since the FBI search, Trump has pointed to a January 19, 2021 memo in which he declassified documents related to the FBI's Russia investigation. There's no evidence, however, that those materials were what the FBI was looking for when it searched Mar-a-Lago earlier this month. I'll say a couple of things in response. The president's authority to declassify is categorical. They're not going to get anywhere with this claim. Number two, he had a standing policy that any documents he took for his research at home, as it were automatically declassified. Number three, I'm understanding that the Biden administration reclassified documents Trump had declassified, but did not inform Trump. Number four, that the same agents who were involved in Russiagate were also involved in the raid of Mar-a-Lago, which reinforces the idea that they may have been there to cover their own ass, Jack. This is just so bad, and it would be so consistent with a Biden Department of Justice and FBI that they'd be there simply to CYO. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, honestly, I really can't even say anything more about that situation. I think it's a clearly staged event. I agree with you that they probably have no way in which they'll be able to do anything legally. This is a media event. And remember, the economy is failing like crazy. People are dying in the streets from the vaccine. Sports figures are falling over in the arenas. And there's a lot of reason to have a distraction at this point, especially with this, with the increase in inflation. And I hate to come back to it, but inflation is a debilitating situation, and it will get worse and worse, and it's going to create a lot of problems. So these are ways in which we could distract. I think of it more like a ping pong game on the Titanic. I mean, it's in their court, it's in your court, it's in their court, but the thing is sinking, and it's not going to, and none of this is addressing that. So that's the key issue. I also wanted to bring up, you know, we were talking about the Zionists and the communists, and without being, I mean, no matter, you're not, we're working towards a world where you're not allowed to criticize anything that has anything to do with Israel or Judaism or Jews themselves, et cetera. But when you look at the United States government as it is today, we see the Secretary of Treasury, Attorney General, the Secretary of the Homeland Security, Director of National Intelligence, White House Chief Staff, Secretary of State, Secretary of Deputy Secretary of State, Secretary of State for Political Affairs, the Office of Science and Technology, and the Director of the CIA are all Jewish. And we would wonder, wouldn't that raise some flags, for example, if they were all Muslim? somebody somewhere would be saying, you know, maybe this is an overrepresentation of a certain group in control of our nation.
You know, Jack, in 2008, I gave my first political speech of my life during a Ron Paul Freedom Rally on the grass outside the Capitol in Washington, D.C. on tax day, April 15th, where I gave a talk that would later be published as 9/11 and the Neocon Agenda, where I explained that no dual citizen should ever be appointed to a decision-making or policy-shaping position within the federal government, because you could not know that their loyalty to the other state did not outweigh their loyalty to the United States. You're making an impeccable point. And there is way too much Zionist influence. Cynthia McKinney, with whom I actually discussed back in 2011, explained the pledge, where new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel even ahead the interests of the United States. These are members of Congress being asked to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States. And she said when she reported it on press TV, she thought everybody knew, but in fact, she was letting a cat out of the bag. I mean, Cynthia is an absolutely wonderful person, but she explained that if you decline to sign the pledge, and very few do, you can find yourself confronted with a well-financed political opponent next time around. Your financing dries up. They've redrawn your district. So that Dennis Kucinich, whom I regarded as at the time the smartest member of Congress, was unable to cope with those. His district was redrawn and he lost his seat, even though I submit he had more to contribute than any other member of Congress at the time. Cynthia was able to rebound and be reelected 6 or 8 times. She's a wonderful person in my pantheon of folk heroes of the American people, but most Americans are totally unaware that this is the fact and remains the case to this day, to the best of my knowledge, my friend.
It definitely does. And then you look at organizations like Facebook. You've got Zuckerberg, and behind Zuckerberg is the actual financier, the big bucks, Dustin Moskovitz, I believe. And if you look into his background, he's worth $23 billion or so. Everything that he does is in the interest of Israel, and if it can, it's in the it's designed to harm America. So these people benefit from our way of life and civilization, and Americans are the I should say the white people are the least racist people that probably ever inhabited the world, especially at this time since they've been beaten to death with race. They'll simply roll over and say, do whatever you want to do. And I honestly believe it's, for many of them, it's a death wish. It's a simple resignation that I'm never going to say a thing about a race or a religion or anything at all, because I can't hurt anyone's feelings. If I hurt someone's feelings, you know, they'll do to me what they did to Alex Jones. And so this is an absolutely absurd world. And that reminds me, well, we have the same situation with attorneys. And, you know, attorneys were barred from participating in government on the original 13th Amendment. That amendment got dissolved and written away over a period of, I think, 40 years. I think it was ratified in 1820 and then had disappeared by 1860 and replaced later at the end of the Civil War with the next 13th Amendment. And the way that was done is really, really surreptitiously. They simply stopped printing constitutions with the 13th Amendment in it.
Jack. Yeah, to my surprise, we got a couple of callers. Mitchell's been able to field here. We have John, the first caller. John, please join us. Give us your state.
Good
your
day,
first
sir.
Name. Go ahead.
First name, ahead. John from Missouri, yeah. Sir.
John from Missouri. Go for it, John.
Yes, you know, I like your caller. Seems to be very perceptive, thinking or understanding that this Mar-a-Lago deal is a total staged event. I mean, first time in history, I've tried to find up documents where somebody has been raided but not arrested. I can't find a case. I thought it was very suspicious, you know, and not to mention, I'm surprised no one's touching upon Trump and Klaus Schwab hanging out and how Trump told Klaus Schwab he's doing a fantastic job. You know, I'm really surprised nobody's mentioning that. And, of course, you know, I mentioned last week, you know, the lawsuits that he has settled out of court, too. I'm not going to touch upon that, but I will get you that information. But like your good caller, once as always, great show.
Well, thank you, know, John. Thank you, John.
I don't think,
Jack.
I don't, yeah. I really ahead. Don't Go think ahead. This is going to stop until we stop the tricking of there's a two-party system. I mean, they're playing monkey in the middle with we the people, and they always throw the ball to the other side whenever things start to get too hot. And Trump didn't bring Linda McMahon from wrestling into his cabinet for no reason. I mean, until we stop this left and right game, this is how it's going to be. So I say get used to it unless we're willing to go another direction, because we put our faith in Bush's, we put our faith in Clinton's, and we put our faith in all of them. And they all failed. And just to put our faith in man is kind of ludicrous. And once again, I just thank you for your time, sir, and everything
well,
you
thank
have
you
to say.
Thank you for the call, John. I'm going to invite Jack to comment. Your thoughts, Jack?
Excellent comment, John. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you see things as I see it. It's pretty clear once you see it. It's startling that most Americans can't. They are basically sheep in some sort of mass formation, and I recommend that book from Matthias Desmet. It's called The Psychology of Totalitarianism, and it's a read of the lifetime for understanding how these groups can be formed into evil blocks of malicious groupthink that then can be used to do mass murder and support unbelievably irrational ideas, including the COVID-19 nonsense. And I think that you're right about Trump. I mean, for example, we saw Trump welcoming Clinton, Hillary, to his inauguration and treating the Clintons like they were some kind of royalty, when in fact they were pretending to be enemies of the highest caliber during the actual debates. And so Klaus Schwab's been seen with Trump because Trump's on the team. He's got a seat at the table He's holding that seat because of the evil that he's done on behalf of the people that have him compromised. And Trump's clearly compromised, as is Biden, and as was Obama and all the rest of them for the last 15 or 20 years. So very good thinking. If we don't dump the two-party system, then we're always going to be playing ping pong on the Titanic. And that's a good analogy.
Yeah, I don't need to reaffirm my qualifications where I dissent from Jack here, but we have Shelley on the line. Shelley, give us your state and share your thoughts.
Yes, hello, Jim. I'm in Canada and in BC. I listen to you all the time. Yes, it's very, very obvious to anybody with one brain cell operating what a clown show is happening. We can't trust any of them. None of them can be trusted. And they're probably planting stuff in whatever they took from Trump's residence. I think, I don't know what it's going to take to get people to wake up and rise up, but they better do it while they've still got some arms, because they're not going to have very soon. And the other thing, I'm very concerned about Susan. You always come on with her, usually on Sundays on TFR. I know she was fighting her fight and fighting off foreclosure, and she's been missing the last few weeks. You can't contact her. And the other thing, what's happening with Julian Assange? These people are fighting these fights by themselves, and they're just being. This is horrible. Can you give me an update on either one of them? Do you know what's happening?
Well, I'll have to reach out to Susan. I've been so preoccupied with legal aspects of these suits.
Yeah, I know you've got.
I've had to create a new blog because they took my old jamesfetzer.org to preclude the public gaining access to my archives about Sandy Hook. But I have a new blog now, jameshfetzer.org. I will reach out to Susan and see if I can get an update. Meanwhile, Jack, would you like to reply to Shelley?
I think Shelley is, she's thinking correctly. She realizes that you can't trust any of them. I wouldn't trust even Julian Assange. And there's a lot of reasons that I won't bother to go into to question him and who he actually works for. And this world is based on deception, and until you can finally get rid of all of your allegiances to things you've believed in the past, and that's everything, religion, your belief in the two-party system, you name it, these individual mind-controlling ideas are basically there to hold you into a way of thinking. And you cannot think properly if you're holding any of their ideas while you're filtering the data. And I feel
exactly.
That it's important to let it all go, and you should be skeptical of everything, especially anything that makes it to the mainstream media. I think that you're not going to be on mainstream media unless you are supporting the narrative in some way. And
They need to be taken over and forced to read the truth. That's what all at the same time. Every station at the same time, they need to be taken over and made to read statements out, speaking the truth.
Well,
that's the only way that you're going to reach anybody.
Shelley, the problem is who determines the truth. What you have to do is allow 1,000 flowers to bloom. Let everyone voice their own opinion. We had a golden age of the Internet for about 15 years, where you could find everything on the Internet and sort it out for yourself. What they've done now is to impose massive censorship. Zuckerberg was admitting to a prime illustration. But what we have to do is respect the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and freedom of the press, and let everyone figure these things out for themselves. We cannot impose a dictatorial, authoritarian source, because no one can be sure they've got the truth, and that is true of all scientific knowledge generally. Shelley, one more comment from you, and then we'll take Paul. Go ahead, Shelley.
Well, we all know. I've noticed this was going on before all this COVID BS started, that a lot of the sites I was following were getting scrubbed, and it was only because you knew how to find them and you could follow them and knew where they were going. But they've been starting to wipe stuff off of the Internet for a long time.
Long time,
and now it's right out in the open. Everybody's aware of it, but that's why I'm saying it has to come through the mainstream media for the brain dead masses that are out there that choose not to know because they don't want to know. God forbid I wake up and see the nightmare that I'm living in. They don't want to know, and so we're all going down.
Shelley, you're so right. It's called cognitive dissonance. If you are confronted with information you don't want to believe, you suppress it, deny it, ignore it. Jack, a further thought that will take Paul.
Well, there's nothing I can say to add to that. She's completely correct. I don't think we'll ever get our hands on mainstream media. I think we'll have to go around it, unless, of course, we can set up a V for Vendetta type situation. But believe me, these things are well protected, and they're easily controlled individually. They all have kill switches. It's going to be very difficult.
Shelley, thank you for calling.
Well, you guys are under serious
attack. Great callers, great show today, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you so much. And Shelley, excellent call. Paul, join the conversation.
So who determines the truth? I do.
Now we know. Now we know. We've been wondering. We have the answer to our question.
I think Jack will be part of my high council, Sieg Heil Jack. I'll be a committee of one. You know, no, we don't need 1,000 flowers. Sorry. There's a reason that National Socialism got rid of the 30 plus political parties. Okay. There isn't any other way out of this. I'm sorry, but I completely agree. And Jack already knows this, that the elections are in general a fraud, and they've been so for a very long time. You know, I've said this. We don't know for sure what's going to happen, but we can, you know, draw suppositions from history. But Sally's absolutely correct that, you know, there needs to be, there to correct people's minds, there has to be some form of what I would call a unitarian propaganda, just what we're subject to now, but it's got to be us. It's got to be our propaganda to essentially re-educate people. And there's some people that are not going to make it. I'm not sure if it's going to come down to street brawls and fighting and even, you know, killing the way that it was with the, the brown shirts versus the communists in Germany. But we do have plenty of domestic enemies that have been made by this Jewish cabal, this Jewish media. And all our problems, probably Jack would find hard to disagree, economic, education, media, medical, all these problems, it's like Jew, 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 Jew. And, you know, I've been singing the same song for 5+ years on your show, Jim, and I thank you for allowing me, and I know that there's a lot of people can see the truth of it.
Well, we're always glad to hear from you, Paul. Jack, your thoughts.
Hi, Paul. Thank you. I know that Paul understands. I read his material, and he's also a very courageous speaker because he'll say things that almost nobody will, and even though people reading it go, I think he's right. It is not right that a certain group, whether they be called religion or race, control all the facets of a nation that is not fundamentally of their race or religion. And when their numbers are so small in reality, and yet they're so overrepresented in the positions of power, and that's not just government, then you have to say, wait a minute, this can't be, we have to have diversity. The Jewish people are always working towards diversifying, which is another word for getting rid of white people, blending white people away. But at the same time, they want to have no diversity when it comes to controlling the world. And I think that, if you can't wake up to that and you can't not feel the fear of saying it, then we have no hope at all. We're finished. And
Jack, I think you made a telling point. I mean, if the Democrats believe in diversity, how can they tolerate all these of the same ethnic persuasion and all these positions of power so grossly disproportionate with their percentage of the population? They ought to be up in arms about it. But I don't hear a single peep, not one word from the Democrats about the vast prevalence of Jews in government. I mean, this is really something that deserves attention and consideration.
I agree, and you won't hear anything because they are so well organized that the moment anyone who wants to keep that position of power, and who would, and so you have to be skeptical of them anyway, if they speak out in that direction, they're finished. I mean, you got the ADL, you have a half dozen other three-letter groups that immediately attack, and they eventually cause you to apologize for what you're doing. And eventually they plan to introduce law, and they're working it in the United States right now. It's already there. They haven't enabled it yet to put you in jail and inevitably kill you for being anti-Semitic, which is arbitrary decision as to what that means, and they make it.
Let me just add, this observation about a prevalence of one ethnic group could apply to any other. If it was all Catholics, right. If it were all Muslims, I'd raise the exact same objection. Why aren't the Democrats raising a question here when they are supposed to believe in diversity? It appears to be a false position, a fake stance, in order to promote their own agenda, which has very little to do with the well-being of the United States and the American citizens. Paul, further thoughts as we conclude our conversation today?
Well, I think that Jack and a number of listeners will concur when I say that I'll be involved in politics the minute that a candidate makes his slogan, let's make it 110 countries, okay? We'll make it 110 countries instead of 109. That's the kind of thing that the American people will get behind. Do you know how much more support Trump would have if he was more racist, if he was more nationalist? He would have way more support, okay? If he just started talking about the kind of things that I've talked about, he would be overwhelmingly popular. No, the bottom line is that the only reason that... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I'm glad that John and Shelley and you called in today, Paul. I want to give Jack an opportunity to say a few words by way of conclusion. Sure. Is there something you'd like to add, Paul, before I turn to Jack?
No, I just wanted to, you know, vent a little bit, and I wish it was true about Trump, Jim, but I think Jack and I have a more realistic assessment of it.
Well, I'm prepared to be shown to be wrong. I'm simply reporting where I stand on this issue today. Jack, please, I'm so delighted to have you join me today. And for a guy who allegedly came in unprepared, you've done a wonderful job. You always seem to find the words, the thought. Your mind is always very active and on top of these things. So I'm just delighted you were here today.
It's very kind of you, Jim, since you have a diegetic memory and I'm struggling with just a regular memory, but... Anyway, I try to keep up, but basically, I didn't have the time to do the normal prep here, but it didn't matter. It all came out anyway. I agree with Paul, and I'm kindred with people who can actually be real in this world, that can say what has to be said. It's very, very painful now. We're not allowed to say these things, and if we can't say them and refresh the minds of regular Americans, there's no hope. If you're going to give up your nation and your way of life and your culture simply because you hurt somebody else's feelings, and that's all this stuff is about. I mean, and when I was a young kid, you could say whatever you wanted about anybody. And there were jokes made about the various races, and for the most part, everyone laughed, including the people that at the moment were the butt of the joke.
Jack, you're absolutely right. The whole category of hate speech is manufactured. It's contradictory to the First Amendment, where you can speak anything you want to say. Say anything whatsoever, especially critical of your government, which in my opinion is what it means to be an American. Spend as much time as you can with your friends and family, my friends. We do not know how much time we have left, whether it's the vax, the war, or whatever. Spend time with your loved ones. You'll never let that happen.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
we did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and